You are Locked On LSU, your daily podcast on the LSU Tigers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Okay, let's get it. Locked On LSU, your team every day. I'm Matt Moscona, ESPN Radio, Baton Rouge, New Orleans, Alexandria, CST, and right here for the Locked On LSU podcast. I will let you hear from former Tiger Jacoby Stevens, also Dane Bradshaw of the SEC Network. We'll begin, though, with where we've been for some time, and that's LSU's continued search for a new defensive coordinator after they swung and missed again with Ryan Nielsen of the New Orleans Saints. Their first six choices all now have come and gone. And one name that had been whispered is former NFL coach Steve Wilks, who had spent some time with the Arizona Cardinals. He is now taking the Missouri job. That was vacated when Ryan Walters left Missouri to join Brett Bielema at Illinois. Walters also was a defensive coordinator candidate at LSU. So you're at least seven deep now, and the question remains, who is next? And the more time you wait, the more time goes on, the shorter that pool of candidates gets. But as it develops, we'll certainly keep you posted here. One other thing that I did want to talk about, because a lot of people have asked, is these rumors, not reports, rumors, nothing more to it, rumors about Elias Ricks potentially transferring. I'm going to say this one time, and I'm going to say it very quickly. Here's what I will say, because I have not spoken to Elias Ricks or anything like that. Here's what I will say. Because we just went through this with Marcus Freeman 2 weeks ago. This just happened. Where all the... I want to preface what I'm going to say here for a second. I'm going to preface this first. I am 100% all for anybody working hard and trying to build an audience based on opinions and compelling content and stuff like that. 100% on board with that. Anybody that wants to do a blog, a podcast, a vlog, a YouTube channel, anybody. Like, I don't sit on an ivory tower just because I'm on terrestrial radio. Like, there's tons of people way better than me that I'll never be as good as those people are that have achieved massive status doing the whole digital thing. So I understand where I'm coming from. Like, Bill Simmons started as the Boston sports guy when blogging was a thing, started a blog, developed a huge readership, ESPN hired him, and he became a giant star at ESPN, in a sense gone on to be one of the most influential people ever in sports media because of the way all of the things he's touched at ESPN and HBO and everywhere have taken off. Okay, so Barstool. Barstool's worth $100 million. That was a bunch of guys who were like, we don't think there's anything that we really like. Let's create our own thing. They did, and look at it now. Okay, so I am all for anybody busting their ass to create something. Okay. That is a big difference than trying to be someone who breaks news. Because the way you break news is you cultivate relationships with newsmakers. And that takes so much time and so much trust over so many years to be able to have candid conversations and get sensitive information. And the way you handle sensitive information determines whether or not you continue to get sensitive information. So, if you're asking about breaking news regarding Elias Ricks, and it's not coming from Elias Ricks or his family, the only other place you should look for it is from the people who make their living covering the football team. Like, the people who have the most to gain or lose by being right. Do you understand what I'm saying? Like, if you literally pay your mortgage covering the football team, if the way you pay your kids' tuition and pay your energy bill every month, your job is you cover this team. Like, listen to those people. Don't listen to LSU guy 86 who's got a podcast who heard from a source that Elias Ricks is transferring. These are the same guys that tried to break the news that Marcus Freeman was going to be LSU's defensive coordinator, and look what happened. There is always a different level of risk-reward with someone who it is literally your job to break news covering this program, as opposed to someone who's doing it on the side and trying to make a splash. So, again, if you think someone's entertaining and you like what they do and their style and their vibe and you watch their show and that and they got good opinions, awesome. But if you want breaking news, go to the people who break news for a living. Because something you can literally, and this is, I'm not being demeaning. I'm just saying it's like you can't know what it's like to be a parent if you've never been a parent. You can't know what it's like to be someone who is in that web trying to disseminate who is giving information for what purpose and what's real and how to piece together a story unless you've been in there. And that takes years of work to cultivate those relationships. So stop asking me about Elias Ricks. Unless if it comes from Elias Ricks or from Ross Dellinger, Brooks Kabina, Brody Miller, Jacques Doucet, Michael Cobble, Brian Holland, Ron Higgins, the people who actually cover this football team. If it doesn't come from them, I just don't care what you have to say. Like, I'm not taking you seriously, ever. And it doesn't mean there can't be a one-off where you get something right. Because I've told the story before. When Skip Holtz got the job at Louisiana Tech, I broke the news. Why? Not because I know anything about all these people at Tech. Were like, how's the Baton Rouge guy got this? Because I had someone like very close to Skip Holtz feeding me the story the entire time along. Like, one-offs like that happen sometimes. But generally speaking, if, you know, crazy about the Bucks 86 is breaking news that Elias Ricks is going to Ohio State, I'm sorry, I don't care what you say. Like, you have no credibility. Because if you're wrong, nobody's going to come to you and fire you. So, man, just consider the source. I'll say it off. Just consider the source. Who has the most to gain by being right? The person that nobody knows about. Who has the most to lose by being wrong? The credible reporter that's being quiet until he has something to say. So, no, I don't have anything to say about Ricks.
Okay, it's a Locked On LSU. We are presented by Rock Auto and rockauto.com. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. It is Rock Auto, Rock A-U-T-O. Listen, if you're a do-it-yourselfer, you like to tinker on cars, you like to restore old vehicles, you like to do it yourself, maybe change your own motor oil or change your windshield wipers. Maybe right now you're just not really comfortable going into that auto parts store because of COVID potential ramifications. I tell you what, get to rockauto.com. rockauto.com, rockauto.com, every part for every vehicle ever they have, and even things like motor oil and windshield wipers, all you have to do is get to rockauto.com. Left side of the homepage, you'll see every model, every make and model ever. Search by year, search by part if you know what part you're looking for. It is at rockauto.com. Check them out online, family-owned and operated. You can trust Rock Auto, and when you get to checkout, there'll be a bar that says, how did you hear about us? Make sure you mention Locked On LSU. It is amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. RockAuto.com. 2020 is mercifully over. Time for a fresh start and a few more wins. If you're betting this year and you want more wins, listen to Locked On Bets and with your boy Q and Lee Sterling of Paramount Sports. They're picking college basketball, football, and NBA locks all winter long. Subscribe to Locked On Bets wherever you get your podcasts. Had a chance to visit with now former LSU safety Jacoby Stevens about his upcoming NFL journey and also looking back to his 4 years in Baton Rouge. He started by being a bit reflective on his time in the purple and gold.
Yeah, of course. I mean, you know, just, you know, after ending the year and, you know, just, you know, really going into this last year, my senior year, you know, like you said, it was unorthodox. And, you know, it's something that, you know, you wouldn't, you know, that it's something that you wouldn't just write down and hope you have to go through for your last year at LSU, just with the COVID-19 and the protocols, just with the no fans, just things like that you just wish never would have happened. But, you know, just looking back at it, and Coach O hit it on it a lot, was just about you're always able to go back and say, hey, that I fought, that I stuck it out, and that I didn't quit on my brothers. And we you know, although the season was tough this last year, we stuck it out.
You kind of went through it all, man. You came in as a five-star, moved to offense, back to defense, became a star on a national championship team, came back for your senior year. You know, really, this year I don't think went the way anybody hoped it would for LSU, but it finished with a high. I mean, if you could go back, would you change anything about your time in Baton Rouge if you could do something over?
Oh, definitely not. I mean, just like you said, coming in and being my position being changed and this how my career unfolded at LSU, I wouldn't change a bit just because, you know, that's the path that God, you know, he wrote out for me and he wanted me to take. You know, going back and reflecting, you know, for almost 4 years, being changed to tight end and being changed to receiver and H-back in Coach Canada's offense, I was able to be in the room with Coach E and leaders like Foster Moreau. And I got to learn concepts that I didn't know coming in as a high school player. You know, being a receiver with the DJ Charks and the Russell Gages, I got to see their work ethic. I got to see also, again, things how receivers adjust their route to certain coverages. And then, you know, coming into my sophomore year, you know, I was, you know, I asked to be back put on defense, and Coach O was more than willing to let me do that. And, you know, I started at safety, and I went to outside linebacker. So, at the time, Coach Aranda, I was able to see and have different perspective on his defense, and it helped me my junior year. And when it came to my senior year, I had enough knowledge of the game to be able to try to put my best foot forward that year.
You played tight end?
Yeah, I played tight end for like a week.
I don't remember that. Did that ever become public?
I'm not sure, but if you ever see Coach E or Foster Moreau around, they'll tell you I was in the room for about a week and a half.
Man, I know we know it was a big storyline your freshman year, them shuffling to try to find where you go. I never knew that you landed at tight end. I mean, like, we always finish the show today with what we learned. I learned today that Jacoby Stephens played tight end at LSU for a week. Hey, so you obviously finished on defense, though. And in this, like we mentioned, this year defensively was just, I mean, it was not what the LSU standard was. If you had to put your finger on it, man, what happened? Like, what happened that went so wrong defensively this year?
Well, I think if I were to put my finger on anything, I would say no offseason. I mean, man, you know, we had no off. We really didn't have like a true off season, and we had a, you know, we just finished the national championship run, and we had a lot of guys leave, and we had a lot of young guys playing, and then we had guys that who really hadn't played at LSU or played SC ball coming in to starting roles. Not only that, we had a new coordinator coming in. And to say that we really didn't have a true off season to where coaches can be with players, the scheme can be taught, everybody can get on one accord, really didn't have that this year. So that plus being just thrown into an SEC West schedule, man, that's not a good mixture for anybody that's playing at a high level.
Jacoby Stephens is with us, former LSU safety. I'll follow him on Instagram at Stephens_Jacoby. Man, I want to talk about what's next. Obviously, we talked about the news, no combine this year, no in-person workouts. How does this impact you, man? Like, how do you get ready for the draft with NFL teams when you can't go work out for them?
Right. I mean, right now, you know, the best thing is to keep working out, keep preparing as if, keep preparing as if there's going to be an opportunity to showcase my skills. If that's, you know, an LSU pro day, or that's a video that, you know, some guys did last year, yeah, when the pandemic first hit. So right now it's just keep working out, keep training, and kind of like lessons, use the lessons that I took during my last year as an LSU Tiger, was just keep pushing. Obstacles are going to be thrown your way. Don't quit and keep working out and keep pushing.
You're going to play in the Senior Bowl?
Yes, sir. So, matter of fact, I leave Saturday to go to Mobile.
Okay. So have you talked to any – I mean, obviously I'm sure you've talked to Jim Nagy, and then have you talked to any other former teammates that might have played at the Senior Bowl, what to expect, or what your expectation is for the week?
Yeah, I've asked around on like the practice schedules and what to expect to get down there, because you know the worst thing to do is just go down there and not having any type of expectation. I've looked at the last year's game with Damian Lewis and Lloyd in that game maybe like three times just to get a feel. I can't tell you how many times I looked at the roster that they've announced and the guys that I'll be competing against. So I'm just kind of getting a feeling, getting back into that real game mode for this last week.
All right. So you looked at the roster.
Oh yes, sir.
All right. So what stands out when you looked at the roster?
Well, just the talent everywhere, and the just the tight end talent and the receivers that they have coming to the game. I mean, just about every tight end can do both things with blocking and running. I wouldn't be a smart man if I didn't mention the quarterbacks that they have coming to the Senior Bowl. These guys have—I mean, they're seniors, so I mean, they have a lot of experience. But they're also their arm talent is ridiculous. I think this may be one of the strongest arm groups that probably came through the Senior Bowl. All these quarterbacks can easily just let the ball fly. But looking at the roster defensively, there's going to be help. I know there's a lot of safeties just coming down to the Senior Bowl. I have somebody that I used to play with in Kerry Vincent. He's coming down. So there's people that, you know, that can really play that can compete highly against this dynamic offense of personnel that Mr. Nagy and the Senior Bowl put together.
Hey, last thing for you, and really good to chat, man. Hopefully we get to do this again. But I'm curious what you think your position will be at the next level, because we had so many conversations here about the possibility of you playing linebacker and maybe even being that type of player, considering just how the position has changed in the NFL. Mm-hmm. Is that something that you've either considered or that NFL teams have actually discussed with you?
Oh, yeah. I've heard play linebacker. I've heard play safety. I've heard just play a whole bunch of positions. And for me, like I told my team and I told coaches at LSU, I've always been wired this way. Whatever the team needs me to play, I'm willing to play. I mean, I'm open to playing anything. Like, you know, if they tell me to gain 100 pounds to play the end, you know, I got that's what I'm trying to do. I don't have a problem with playing anything. At the end of the day, I'm a football player. I'm somebody who loves football. There's somebody that's a student of the game. So, whatever team asks me, drafts me, and the first day they tell me that I need to play a certain position, you know, that's the position that, you know, I'm going to go back to my trainers and go back to everybody and say, hey, this is the position that they want me to play. So let's train so I can put my best foot forward.
We appreciate Jacoby Stevens, and we appreciate betonline.ag, betonline.ag. BetOnline is the mobile betting site that I've used for more than a decade, and thrilled to be talking about them here on the Locked On LSU podcast. Sports betting obviously is becoming so much more mainstream. If you want to get involved in the action, it's a ton of fun. BetOnline.ag, it's a safe, secure site. You can bet on anything from NFL playoffs this weekend, NBA, college basketball. There's future odds, there's prop bets, there's even live in-game betting as well, if that's your speed. BetOnline.ag is where you go. And remember, it's free to open an account. And when you go to make your first deposit, you can do it by credit card. You can use Bitcoin if you want. But when you go to make your first deposit, there'll be a tab for the promo code. Use the promo code LOCKEDON, and they'll give you a 50% welcome bonus. So deposit $100 in your account, they'll give you 50 to play with for free. Deposit $500 in your account, they'll give you $250 to play with for free. BetOnline.ag. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Wrapping up another edition of the Locked On LSU podcast, be sure to check out Locked On SEC. SEC hoops in full swing. If you need all the news, subscribe up to Locked On SEC. Talking the SEC every single day. LSU basketball took it on the chin a couple of nights ago against Alabama. Dane Bradshaw of the SEC Network was on the call. Had a chance to visit with Dane, not only to recap Bama, but also to preview Saturday's game with LSU going to Lexington and taking on Kentucky at Rupp Arena. But I started with, man, how in the heck did that happen at the Maravich Center Tuesday night?
Yeah, I don't know if I can put all those pieces together, as you mentioned in the open there. But, yeah, it was going to be a tough matchup for LSU because, yeah, they like to mix in some zones, but I don't know how you do that with all the shooters Alabama has. And they switch a lot, which is good in theory, but when Alabama's got so many drivers and quick guards, that's asking a lot from your big guys, whether it's Days or Watford. And so, they struggled just to keep Alabama out of the paint. But make no mistake about it, John Petty just started hitting some threes at the very beginning, and they were just dribble pull up. I mean, the guy came in and did a heat check on his first shot, just sized them up. And the first one goes in for a guy like that, you could be in trouble. And then LSU didn't really help themselves by, not containing drill penetration and giving some open threes in transition. So, it really impressed me with Alabama is that they just continued to play extremely hard in the defensive end. They didn't play the scoreboard, and LSU just didn't have much fight left. But it's a humbling experience. So I'm curious to get a feel for what Coach Wade's approach was today because, what else can you really say to your team that Alabama didn't already say to your team? Like, you're not as good as you thought. You've been humbled. And I've liked watching LSU, but one thing they do, look, after a lot of buckets inside, Days, Watford, who I'm fans of, but, they like to flex a lot after each, paint touch and paint bucket, and they kind of try to punk you a little bit. But when they got smacked in the mouth, they didn't really fight back as much as I know Coach Wade would like to, and I'm sure they're accountable players and put this one behind them and show more fight the next time out.
If you're Will Wade, I mean, you just mentioned, what can you tell your team that the game didn't tell your team? Like, do you even bother looking at this game film, or do you just turn the page to Kentucky?
Well, even though he's got a new team and inexperienced, but he does have some veteran leaders there with Javonte Smart, Darius Days, and Watford being an experienced sophomore. I challenge those guys and say, look, do y'all need me to just beat you up in practice and run you to death and make us watch every single breakdown we had? Or can I trust you to be accountable and have the leadership to where you promise that you're going to make sure this never happens again? Not while you're wearing an LSU jersey and you won't stand for it, and you're not going to allow the freshmen and anybody else that came to that game not ready to play either. And that's what I would do, is challenge them, because it puts the onus on them. You can't just not address it, but it's like, all right, are we good on that? I take you at your word. Let's prove to me that was an anomaly, and let's focus on the next matchup and hopefully put it behind us. Cause I said it last night on the broadcast, as much as I typically don't favor just the automatic burn the tape scenario, when it's something that bad, I'm not sure that you want to just, destroying their confidence as well when they were a confident team prior to that game.
Yeah. Bama was over 70% from three in the first half, 53% for the game. Last one on this game, and we'll move forward. This might sound stupid to ask, but was LSU's three-point defense that bad, or was Bama just that hot, making even some contested threes?
Well, I think it's just a mix of LSU played the best three-point shooting team they've played all year, and I don't know every opponent they've had in terms of their – opponent's three-point statistics coming into the LSU matchup. But as good as LSU had been defending the three recently, holding teams, I think, under 30%. If you look at it, though, in terms of how many three-point attempts they allow you to get off, it's towards the bottom of the entire NCAA. So if you're Alabama, you're like, look, if they're going to let teams get that many threes off a game, we're licking our chops, because we can make open threes. We can make contested threes within the rhythm of our offense. And so, what was interesting is I would have thought, like, hey, coming into this game, Alabama shoots 33s a game. Let's try to make them beat us from two. And by God, we're going to run them off the three-point line. Don't let them get up more than 18 threes this game. Let's see if they can beat us from two. But I think the game plan was a little bit different in that Will Wade had a lot of respect for how well they attacked the rim as well and the paint touches that they get, that I think maybe, you know, they may have given a little bit too much respect for their two-point game and didn't realize that, wait a minute, this team is capable of making 23 threes in one game.
Dane Bradshaw, SEC Network, on Twitter, at Dane Bradshaw. How does LSU match up with Kentucky?
I think favorably. I think they've got the toughness factor. Kentucky's licking their wounds too, and I do think even though this isn't the Kentucky team of years past, there's still something about that brand, and that helps you turn the page a little bit. Like if LSU had to go up against somebody in the bottom of the SEC this year, maybe that's not as having as much success, or somebody they already beat, like an Ole Miss or whatever. To me, that you're still thinking about last game. You're not lucky on that schedule, man. It doesn't matter what their record is. You're excited to play, and I think that's going to really help them in this game. And there's also guys, even though they hadn't performed to expectation, there's a lot of guys on that Kentucky roster right now that got more hype than LSU players, coming out of high school. Cam Thomas is looking over there at Kentucky like, wait a minute, why didn't I go to Kentucky? Why wasn't I the McDonald's guy? You guys were. And I think there's plenty of motivation. And, they're going to have to, and I talked about this with Will Wade yesterday. I asked him, I said, look, because of the cloud of the investigation of your program, the national media and others aren't going to go out of their way to give you guys credit. And he said, look, that's the reality of it. We've got to do twice as much to get half the credit. We realize that. Well, you got to embrace that, have a chip on your shoulder. So at this point, even though Kentucky's not a huge quality win this year, you can't allow the perception of your program to have a domino effect just based off of poor performance last night.
Okay, that'll do it for us here on the Locked On LSU podcast. If you've not done so yet, please subscribe wherever you get your podcast, however you're listening to us, and we will see you tomorrow. Locked On LSU, your team every day.